Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to share something with you this morning. It's really kind of about prayer, but we're going to start here in the Scripture, and it's Galatians. Mary, you with me? Oh, you're good. I'm waiting for it. There we go. Galatians chapter 6, talk a little bit about sowing and reaping. This is where we're going to start, and we're going to walk our way through some things this morning. How many of you have ever planted something? How many of you have ever had it grow? Less hands than planted, uh-huh. Come on, this is a part of this area is a farming area. Planting. When you plant something, you hope and expect that it will grow and it will produce whatever it's supposed to produce, okay? And the fruit of it. And you know what? As we come to faith in Christ, it's wonderful to call ourselves saved, and what that really means is we're saved from the consequence, the eternal consequences of being born into sin or sinning. When we come and put faith in Him that He died on a cross, His blood for, you know, was shed to make payment, the demand of sin satisfied, and so that we could be restored in relationship to God. And it's wonderful to be saved and to have that salvation experience. But you know, the grace of God, we're supposed to make good on God's grace after that point. In other words, I'm supposed to live different now, right? He's been gracious to us, and He will continue to be gracious as we are honest with Him and forthright with Him and all of that. But we want our life to change. We want Him to change our life, and so we want to make good on His grace, and we want to learn to, you know, plant now that we have the salvation experience and forgiveness of sin from God in our life. We want to be able to plant and make good on it and become fruitful. And so we have to learn to partner, so to speak, even though God really isn't interested in partnership with us, He's interested in ownership of us. We get to partner with the work of His Spirit, so to speak, and put our effort and responsibility in faith according to how He instructs us that we could bear fruit for His good name. That's what we want to have happen in our own life, through our life, in other people's lives, in the church, through the church. And so I want to talk a little bit about this sowing and reaping. Do you mind? I'm getting warm. If my shirt is too much for you, don't look at me. How about that? Anytime I wear a shirt like this, I have people ask me in this community, they'll see me, they go, "Hi, nice shirt," or some won't even make comment about the shirt. They'll just say, "Where'd you get that?" And I tell them, "Not in Sparta," you know. But, anyhow. Yeah, I just ran over to Walmart quick. But, sometimes I have fun with people, too. I say, "Well, this morning I was kind of woke up tired, tripped in and fell into my wife's closet, and this is what I came out with." So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let's start there. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows or plants to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good or planting what's right in the Spirit. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Sowing to the flesh, just kind of real quick. Sowing to the flesh is allowing our carnal attitude and desire to live and operate in us, and we run our life accordingly. You know, we kind of make ourselves number one, or we as, sometimes as a Christian, we allow certain things to happen in our life and we justify it like it's okay or it's not as bad as, or so-and-so does it, so it must be okay. There are things that we can sow to the Spirit. And usually the things that we sow or plant in the Spirit to grow spiritually, generally our flesh does not like it. Okay? Our flesh does not like it. Listen, by God's grace, I'm a Christian man. And by God's grace and call, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I want you to know that you may have this idea that because I'm a pastor, that I just love going to prayer. I do. I love going to prayer, but there are moments that all of a sudden there's this little, I don't know if it's this other little voice or whatever you want to call it, there's this little part that says, and I go, what? Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to Randy. I don't even quickly blame the devil on this, like, oh, the devil's holding me back. It's his fault. Listen, I got to take responsibility on it. Sometimes it's, Randy, shut up. Do, get, move, you know? And, you know, it's not like, oh, well, he's a pastor. Well, you know, listen, pastors aren't perfect. Amen. One amen, yeah. Oh, Anderson, I love you, buddy. I heard it. That was you, wasn't it? Oh, that was John. Hey, John. Had the wrong guy. Oh, it wasn't me. It was him. It's true. We're people. Listen, we all walk on the same ground here. Okay? And our flesh and flesh attitude, and you know, for some of us who've been Christians for a while, we think, well, I hope that these new believers are listening this morning. Listen, God ain't done with us yet. He is still perfecting us, still convicting us. Listen, we got to keep growing. We got to keep doing. We got to keep planting to the Spirit. We can't just say, well, I planted enough over my lifetime, and now they can just put me out to pasture. We got to still keep planting, sowing to the Spirit, all right? And so I wanted to start there, and I want you to know part of sowing to the Spirit, you know, is prayer and reading His Word and worship, and not just singing songs worship, it's also worship the kind of life we live, how we live in private, how we function, how we make decisions, how we treat people, all of those things are part of sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit so that it would bear fruit. Not sowing to the flesh saying, hey, forget them, I'm number one. You know, I'll steal, I'll cheat, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll just, you know, blah, 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 protect me. That's a fleshy attitude. I want you to know, sowing to the Spirit are many things, Scripture tells us, but I want us to hear this morning because we have been praying for a visitation of God to be strong among us and increase among us. And I believe that one of the things we need to plant this morning is in this whole area connected to prayer and included in sowing to the Spirit for us is now fasting. That's not bad, actually, you know. Mention fasting and you get four amens. That's pretty good. I mean, come on. Do you love food? The older I get, the more I love it. When I was young, it was just about volume. You know, it didn't matter much what it tasted like. My wife has spoiled me. She said she is so great in the kitchen. I like good food. I do. I am not a connoisseur of it. I just know what looks good, smells good, and tastes good. And I like it. And God has given us food to enjoy, and our body needs it. I totally get that. I totally get that. But there's a spiritual thing that we can do to plant, to sow. And part of that as a Christian is fasting. If you're not familiar with fasting, you'll hear a little bit about it this morning. This is not some exhaustive teaching on fasting. Fasting in general in biblical terms is really going without food, all right, and setting more time aside for prayer. I want you to know that we're not saved like our works. Well, if I fast, I get to go to heaven. No, no, no. It is by God's grace we are saved through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Don't confuse that. But making good on his grace, since now we have to sow to the Spirit, one of the things that is included is fasting. We don't hear a lot about fasting, at least I don't. You know, there's books and things on it, but we just don't hear about it a lot. And since we have had an emphasis on prayer, fasting has to be part of it. In fact, in places in the Scripture, if you look up the original word, sometimes where prayer is used, it really is a substitute for the word fasting. Or when it says humble yourself, the word humble there means fast. Go without food for a while, and maybe it's one meal, maybe it's a day, it's whatever you feel compelled. That's between you and the Lord. Okay, this is not a message of condemnation, and we all have to go without food and, you know, deprive ourselves, and somehow in it we're holy. No, no, this isn't about works. This is about, you know, planning and sowing to the Spirit. Fasting is just part of that. I want to read to you from Joel chapter 2, and I want to mention this to you in Joel chapter 2, and I'm quickly going to read there. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. In fact, if you don't own a Bible, that Bible that's there in the pew rack, you take that with you. That's a gift to you, not even from our church. It's from the Lord, and you take it with you, and that's your Bible. You make it your own, and we'll replenish them. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 we'll start. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with what? Say it. It says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. And he does relent from disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn or relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering from the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. And it's talking about coming back to the Lord. And I want you to know what's very important about this passage is when it was written. It was a time where the northern kingdom, Israel, God had kind of said, okay, I'm turning you over. You have not come to me. You will not turn back to me. I have been good to you. I've been calling you. And now the southern kingdom in Judah, he is sending a message to them through the prophet saying, listen, you're on the border here. You're about to become like the northern kingdom. And he's saying, I don't want that to happen. I love you. And he says, one of the ways back to me for a spiritual breakthrough is through fasting. Humbling yourself. You see, it was a time of spiritual decline that the Lord spoke through the prophet and said, return to me. And part of returning to him is fasting or humbling ourselves. Going without food for the sake of seeking him. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus talks about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. In other words, they're just doing this spiritual ritual to look spiritual to other people. And Jesus is saying, that's not what fasting is. Don't do that. I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I want to talk to you about the key word in this passage. The key word is when. It's not if you fast, It is when you fast. That's the key word. In other words, it's a given. If you are a Christian, you will fast and pray. Not if you fast, here's some instructions. It's when you fast. It's like it's a given. It's kind of like, you know, when you breathe. Not if you breathe. It's kind of like when you eat, because it's a given. We're going to eat. Sustain our bodies. It's when. I want you to know, as a Christian, and part of sowing to the Spirit is fasting. It's putting aside that which God has given, really, to bless us and nourish us, but to put aside for a moment, to humble ourselves and to pray more, to seek Him more. The key word is when. Not if. Not, well, if you decide to. It's when. Fasting. And why is it important? We'll talk a little bit about that. There's multiple reasons. But I want you to know that fasting, part of it, is about spiritual victory. It brings victory. You can look at examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, you can go back, even to Chronicles 7:14. And it talks about God healing the land. And He says, you know, if you will fast, or will you, if you will humble yourself, and the word there is fast, if you will fast and pray, I will heal your land. There's places in the Old Testament where people of God, they fasted, put aside food, or certain categories of food, so that they could pray more, so that they could gain favor, so they could gain understanding, so they could find out what is God up to. Somehow, this physical expression of an inward faith, God sees as a sowing to the Spirit, and He brings fruit to it. As we have this faith in God, I want you to know it's a very personal, private thing, but understand that when that happens to us, there are expressions in our life that people can see outwardly that there's an inward faith. It's just how it works. And so one of the things that we get to do is we get to go without food to seek Him more. Do you remember Mark chapter 9, Jesus, there's a man who has a son who is possessed of a demon. And when this demon starts to act out, this evil spirit, it throws the boy into convulsions and then sometimes rolls him into like the fire. And the man basically is in contact with Jesus' disciples, and they try to deliver this boy from the evil spirit, and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, because, you know, He's the Lord, He shows up, this evil spirit in this boy gets agitated, and all of a sudden throws the boy down, and he starts to convulse. And I love this about Jesus. It's just so cool. You know, I would think that, boy, if that happened in front of me, boy, right away we want to take care of it. And Jesus does this as the boy's convulsing. He turns to the father and says, "So, how long has he been doing this?" It's like, he's in no hurry. "So how long's your boy been doing this? How long's this been going on?" And the father begins to tell the story of his boy and what's going on. And Jesus asks the father, "Do you believe? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God." Remember his hometown? There was little faith there, so he could only do a few miracles. And the father's expression of faith, Jesus hears it, And people start coming, and Jesus doesn't want to have a big scene. He just commands the evil spirit that's made this boy mute and sends him in convulsions and all this, and says, you come out. And the demon leaves the boy, and the boy's healed, never bothered again. I'll tell you, when Jesus does something good in your life, he does it good. Amen. And he gets together with his disciples. And he says, you unbelieving generation. And then he tells them this. This kind, this type of evil spirit, this kind of problem only comes out and is delivered. This ministry can only happen like this through fasting and prayer, or humbling yourself, fasting, and praying. Or in some context, it just says praying. And if you look up that word and you study that, you'll find out that it means fasting and praying. That fasting brings spiritual victory. And I'll tell you, it's not about, okay, that's it. I want to wield God's power. Like you can throw lightning bolts from your fingertips or something. I want us to look at the primary purpose for fasting. It is about spiritual victory and a power. See, what happens is when we begin to fast and humble ourselves before God, and we don't sow to the flesh, we sow to the Spirit. The Spirit gets nourished. The Spirit gets strong. And you just like you start to clue in a little more. And God reveals himself and what he's doing and what he's like. It's like this a little breakthrough. And I want you to know that fasting is not easy. Listen, I got to tell you something. Fasting food, it's a tough thing. Because it's not optional. It's something we need. You know, I hear of all kinds of fasts today. And I chuckle a little bit. And I'm just going to share this with you as food for thought. I am not condemning your fasting practices and what you choose. But I hear this. I am going to fast Facebook for 1 week. Now, those of you who are like, you know, 50 and over, if you don't know what Facebook is, well, let's use, I'm going to fast television for a week. You can do what fits for your generation. Or I'm going to fast, you know, here it comes. Lay it on me, PS3. I'm going to fast PS3. If you're hearing like, what's PS3? Don't worry about it. They know. It's a video game. For those of you 50 and older, it's like a really fancy Atari. And I hear these things, and I think, well, that's good. They're setting something aside for the sake of praying, and that's good. But I want you to hear this in the sense of biblical context. You don't need, regardless of how you feel and think, you don't really need PS3 to exist. You don't need Facebook to actually have breath and have life. Okay, what that is when we say, you know what, I'm not going to Facebook for a week, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And I want you to know what that is. That's really a solidifying of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us that's called self-discipline. It's not fasting. It's simply saying, hey, something has kind of taken over my life here, and I need to discipline myself with the help of the Holy Ghost. And I don't need to Facebook or play PS3 or Atari all the time. That's just disciplining ourselves, saying, you know what, I can go without this. I don't have to do this as much. That's just disciplining ourselves. See, the difference is food we need. That's a fast. Now, if you've called some of these other things fasts, and you know, please, I'm not condemning, I'm not saying it's wrong. You go about your business. I'm just telling you in the sense that fasting has to do with giving up something that you need to exist, that God has actually given to us, but we can say no to it for a while for the sake of prayer. I'm doing my best, bro. I love the color of your shirt. And I know you didn't get that in Sparta. There is a purging that kind of goes on. And I don't mean just physically in our body when we go without food. It's that as we start to pray more, we get closer to Him. And He gets closer to us. And we start to have a vision, an understanding of more of what He's like and how He thinks, and He reveals things to us more. And all of a sudden, because of that, it starts to affect us, how we think, how we live. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord gets strong. Now, we have to go back to food because we need it. But there are these seasons, these moments of sowing heavily to the Spirit in fasting and prayer. That yes, they bring spiritual breakthrough, but here's really the primary, the foundational thing of spiritual breakthrough and fasting. It's not just the purpose of, hey, I want to gain understanding, or we need a spiritual breakthrough in this community, so we're going to fast and pray for it. We want a stronger visitation of God among us, so we're going to fast and pray. You know what? That's right. It's good motives. It's not wrong. It's good. But the primary, the foundational spiritual breakthrough when we fast is this, that we are crucifying our own flesh. It's to die to ourself and be alive in Christ. It's not about, I'm going to fast and pray through all this wielding spiritual power. That is all a fruit of fasting. But the real fruit is this revelation of Jesus living in us, and our flesh attitude is not getting in the way. I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh does not like it. I remember when I first started taking fasting serious. You know, it was with a meal, then it was a day, then it was a 3-day, then it was a 10-day, and so forth and so forth. And it's, I'll tell you, day one, I get partly through the day, I was crabby. I was not really fun to be around. And generally, I'm, you know, somewhat fun to be around. Right, son? Say yes. See how that works of his own will? You know, you get a little crabby, and it's your flesh is like, yeah, oh, it's not just getting hungry, it's your flesh attitude starts to get exposed. Kicking and screaming, I don't like this, and this is how I feel. And then you start to think, oh boy, why fast when I'm acting like this? But after you start to sow to the Spirit, you start to work through it, and you stay with it, and you might stumble, and oh, I went to the fridge, and I just had a piece of dry bread, and it was so good. Well, normally you look at a piece of dry bread and go, give that to the birds, but it's so good. And you stumble, and you say, Lord, forgive me. You know what? Don't throw it all in. Just pick up from there and keep going. Pick up from there and keep going. Don't walk under condemnation. You're sowing to the Spirit. You didn't blow it. Oh, you tripped, you made a mistake. Jesus didn't say, forget it, start all over. No, just pick up from there and keep going. Just keep going. Keep sowing. Don't let it trip you up. Don't take the pitfall or the bait of the enemy saying, see, you're not a good Christian, and you can't fast, and you can't. No. You remember that the primary foundation thing of fasting is that we are crucifying this flesh attitude, and we are taking and making room for the attitude of God's Spirit to flourish in us, that we get to a place where we start to agree with God over how He looks at things. And we get exposed to things in our life that maybe weren't right, that we weren't cluing into. I mean, we have to grasp this principle. How can prayers be effective in our life if we are bound by our flesh. A fleshly attitude. I mean, how can our prayers be effective when we're just bound by stuff in our own life? I mean, we have faith in the Lord and we're a Christian, but we're bound up. We're not loosed. We're not free. We think we're free to do what we want, and we're doing what we want, but it's not necessarily freedom that the Lord has brought, that we're doing what He wants, what's permissible by Him, what's beneficial by Him. We want a spiritual breakthrough. Well, for our prayers to be answered, we've got to start fasting and cluing in. I mean, God has been doing some wonderful things in people's lives in recent days here. And the Lord gets all the credit and the glory for that. I mean, this is His kingdom. It's His church. We just want to be His people. And we're in this together. And I want to urge you this morning to sow to the Spirit in all kinds of ways, but include fasting. Giving up of food for a time, for a season, for a meal, for a day, whatever it is, you work out with the Lord and pray. More time in prayer. Be sensitive to His Spirit. Allow His Spirit to grow and our flesh to die. I want to just mention this, that we can sabotage our fasting. In Isaiah 58, God is speaking to His people, and we're almost done. Isaiah 58, God, through His messianic prophet Isaiah, He says, "Yet they seek Me daily and delight to know My ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of Me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to Me. Why have we fasted and we don't see the answer?" That's what they ask God. They say, "We have humbled ourselves and You take no knowledge of our fasting or going without food. Behold, in the day of your fast," God says to them, "you seek your own pleasure and you oppress other people. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with the wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day a person is to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not the fast that I chose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, cover them. Do not hide your face from your own people." What God is saying, listen, you can go through your fast and go without food, but if you don't allow the Spirit to grow in you, and you're just doing this as some religious obligation, and you're fasting and you're praying or you're shouting and during worship, and yet when you walk out of this place, you're mean to people, you sabotage your worship, your fasting. So as we step into a fast and a prayer, understand that we can sabotage the very spiritual thing we're sowing. It's like planting a seed and then digging it up. Well, that's smart. If we fast and mistreat people, if we fast and pray and we ignore the poor, if we fast and pray and aren't mindful of the widows, if we fast and pray and yet we oppress and take advantage of people around us, we have dug up the seed we just planted. See, it's all of this working together. We want a visitation of God to be strong among us, to draw people, to heal people, that the good news would actually be good news. It's that kind of spiritual breakthrough for us as a church and as a community, but even in our own life, fasting, praying. And then as we do that, we still wash and bathe and take care of ourselves like we look healthy. We smell healthy. Little point there. You know? Still take care of ourselves. And yet, we walk around, and where we can do good, we do it. That's partnering and like throwing water, throwing sunshine on the seed we planted. Instead of sabotaging our worship, our prayer, and our fasting. I want to send out a call to you as a church. I want to send out a call to fast. Now, this is your decision. I'm just sending out the call. This is not highly demanding, but it's a start. I want to encourage us as a church body to take every Wednesday through the month of May as a day of fasting and prayer. Now, if some of you in here say, oh, listen, I'm diabetic, or I've got this, and I've got to do that, and I've got... Listen, it's between you and God. I am not going to be at the door when you come in going, how'd you do last Wednesday? Ah, no gold star for you. No, no. For you who may be starting... He's thinking a whole day, oh, without any food, Listen, maybe it's skipping lunch. All that the call really is not just fasting. It's a fresh call that we as a church can unite together and begin to sow another seed that we could reap, that God could reap, really, of the fruit of fasting and prayer and living right, and being sensitive to His Spirit, crucifying, buffeting our flesh, that the Spirit's attitude could live in us, that it would actually be our attitude. We're being transformed, that we could see the fruitfulness of God's kingdom here on earth, just like the Lord's Prayer. Let Your kingdom come here on earth. Let it be done, Your will, here on earth, just like Your will is carried out in heaven. So the call is, every Wednesday in the month of May will be a day of fasting and prayer. It is left to you on how much you fast, how much you pray. Listen, if it's a Wednesday and you're sitting there at lunchtime and you're at Culver's, and you're thinking, uh-oh, I know, but my fast was I skipped dinner. And do I have to explain that to everybody? And what if so-and-so from the church walks into Culver's? Listen, they're in the same boat. This is between you and him. I'm just responsible to send out the call. So don't pass judgment when you see so-and-so on Wednesday turn into some place. Think, oh boy, they forgot. I bet it's my job to go over there and remind them. Do not go, lest ye be tempted. Listen, it's between them and God. We're just planting a seed. We're starting. We're doing the next step. We're doing a little bit more. Because I want God's visitation to be so strong among us. I want people to be healed. Listen, you come in with a broken heart, I want God to fix it. If you came in with a bundle of sin, I want you to be assured, you know, you can be forgiven. And God's for you. He's not against you. Listen, this gospel is supposed to be good news. And listen, if you're here and some Christian or some pastor has offended you unrightfully, listen, I'm sorry. But don't use that as a license to not have faith in who Christ is. Open your heart to Him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.